turn your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Ooh, hello David.
G'day, how are you?
I'm good, David, and yourself?
I'm okay, yep, no colds just yet.
Oh yeah, I know, it's sort of dropped down in the last few days, hasn't it, the temperature, and that usually sparks a whole lot of bugs.
I'll tell you where it's always cold.
Space.
Space, that's right, that's right.
It's also very hot.
That was, yeah, obviously, David, space is that as well.
Yeah, I actually don't know what the temperature's been like up here. I just spent last week in down in Christchurch.
Oh, right.
What on earth has been going on in Christchurch that drew you down there?
There was a conference, an astronomy conference. It's the Royal Astronomical Society of New Zealand. So each year they have a national conference. So that organisation is like an umbrella group for all the different local astronomy societies around the country, plus the professional astronomers and academics.
Okay.
So it sort of brings everyone together. Yeah.
Are there any rogue astronomy? Is that just sort of your independent person with a telescope?
To be a member of the Royal Astronomical Society of New Zealand, you can be anyone. It's open to anyone.
Right.
But most people are also members of a local society of some sort, or they're in academia.
Cool.
Now, what gets covered off at one of these things, David?
All manner of things, and they're making quite an effort to involve young people in astronomy. There's a group now called SWAPA, S-W-A-P-A, which sounds rather slightly odd, but it actually stands for Students with a Passion for Astronomy. So the Brassens, they pay for students, secondary school students around the country, a small number, to actually go and attend the conference. So they pay for the airfares and so on.
Right.
So that they can actually participate, and they have little satellite meetings of their own. So anything from that to...
Do you guys monitor those meetings, though, as well?
In their 80s, who have retired from academia or... whatever, and are still involved in astronomy. So it's a whole age range, really.
I imagine there'd be a fair bit of my telescope is bigger than your telescope sort of conversations going on down at this conference.
There's a little bit of that does go on. Most of that would go back at the local level.
Okay.
But at this one, the academics and the professional astronomers, they don't actually have their own telescope. They use big telescopes that are run by organisations. So their battle is to get time on these big telescopes.
I see. Yeah. Everyone's trying to see that next.
All sorts of things about stars. I mean, a couple of things that sort of stood out for me was some interesting stuff about really massive stars, stars much, much bigger and more massive than the Sun. And when they're in pairs, because most stars, in fact, are not single stars like our Sun, most stars are in systems of 2, 3, 4 or whatever stars that are gravitationally bound to each other. And when that happens, they interact and all sorts of weird things go on.
Cool.
And the other thing is with gravitational waves I've talked about on the show, with merging black holes or merging neutron stars, the one type of merger that hasn't been seen yet is a neutron star merging or hitting a black hole. So one of each, and that would be
the perfect storm.
Rather interesting, because basically that black hole would tear the neutron star apart and give us all sorts of information about what neutron stars are made of, which astronomers don't know very much about, how they're actually constructed and what's inside them. So there are some interesting things. Dark sky talks about light pollution. There's whole bunch of stuff about that, and anything down to a code of conduct about how people should behave at these meetings. So yeah, there's a very wide range.
Nice. Now we've got a NASA engineer heading our way to run a science team in South Island, Delwyn Moller?
You know, Johnny, it's quite off-putting to be talking to someone who actually does research on the topics I send.
Okay. Okay, mate, I'm here. I'm right here. Don't worry. You'll always have me, David.
Well, just so the listeners know, the topic I sent was Moller running science team. Mm. And so that was a bit of a cryptic heading I gave there.
Mm.
And you've cracked it before I even get on air.
Sweet.
I hope I haven't ruined the surprise for everyone. And hopefully you've got a bit more information on this.
I'll try. this is actually the elder sister of Lorraine Moller, the marathon runner.
Okay.
No, the other way around, younger sister.
So they're a family of high achievers.
Great.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. but this is the younger sister, her name's Delwyn. She's actually been over in the States for a very long time, working for NASA.
Yeah.
So she's been a scientist at JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
That's got to look good on the CV, doesn't
so
it?
She's a Kiwi.
She's a Kiwi.
Returning home.
That's
okay.
Got to be the holy grail, right, cool. Getting a little gig at NASA.
Oh, absolutely.
Shit.
Yeah, the two of them, they grew up in Potararu.
Okay.
Which is in a population of 3,800. So both of them are amazing. Mm. So Delwyn, the younger sister from NASA, she's actually married to a guy called Brian Pollard, who helped design the radar that helped land the Curiosity rover on Mars.
So this family just needs to relax a bit.
Well, I don't think so. They've got twin children and...
I bet they're beautiful.
...at the age of 50 learning jiu-jitsu.
Oh, she's a big hungry. She's also a...
Wait, what? They're teaching their twin six-year-olds jiu-jitsu, did you just tell me that?
No, I said they have twins, so they've got to look after them.
Right.
But in addition to that and all her other responsibilities, she's learning jiu-jitsu at the age of 50.
Oh, right. I see. My fear of fears is tiny children that are all equally good at jiu-jitsu. That scares out of me.
The children do learn that.
It's good, actually. It's mostly grappling, so that's probably quite good, actually.
Now, what sort of work will she be doing in New Zealand?
She'll be based down in near Wanaka, working for... a new company called the Centre for Space Science Technology, CWST. Right.
It's got to be good down there to look at the skies. It'd be nice and clear, won't it? You know, is that the vibe?
Yeah, but I'm not exactly sure why they're based there, but because in fact what they're doing is interpreting satellite data.
Mm.
So they're not actually looking at the sky. This is Earth-facing information.
Oh, maybe it's just where the kids go to school. It's probably
I suspect so.
Yeah.
So they've already provided information to the North Canterbury Transport Infrastructure Recovery, which helps them actually with repairing earthquake-damaged roads.
Yeah.
So nice. Using satellite imagery. So the idea of this company is to interpret satellite information and make it useful to people down on Earth, and especially in New Zealand. So, for instance, another example is... following ships on the sea, so they know exactly where they are, and helping get information about the ocean and oceanic conditions and so on, or optimizing routes or for the Coast Guard. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that they're aiming to do there, but it's all Earth-facing material, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, when you get back to the running, though, it turns out that Delwyn, although she does running, she had to sort of do her jogging on the quiet so that there was no pressure of comparisons with her marathon running elder sister. Yeah, so she does running as well still.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Now, David, tell us a little bit about Blue Origin.
Blue Origin is one of the private companies in the States that's aiming for space. They're a bit between Virgin Galactic, that's the Richard Branson group that are sending spacecraft up with people aboard, so you go up to 100 km and then glide back down. Somewhere between that and SpaceX, which is Elon Musk's company that sent that car past Mars. Blue Origin do a bit of both of that, but they're still working on the first part. And they're making progress. They sent an unmanned capsule up to 106 kilometres. But the way it comes back and lands is the booster part, the rocket part, it lands a bit like the SpaceX rocket by itself vertically.
Right.
The capsule with the people, when there would be people on board, it lands a bit like the Russian spacecraft that come back from the space station using a parachute.
Right.
And then just before they touch down, a rocket's fire.
Little jets.
A few meters above.
Do they, before they send a human up, do they sort of check?
Like, they're hoping to do that by the end of this year.
Do they, is everyone, like, do we still use like an animal to check it out, that kind of stuff? Or are we, is it we pass that?
I think
how does that work?
Got past that these days. Yeah. They can replace animals with computer simulations.
Ah, great.
Yeah, they do send mostly insects and that sort of thing up to the space station.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Still lots of experiments up there.
Oh, okay. There's a movie right there. There's definitely a movie there.
Now, David, just out of interest, obviously it's great to have all these private companies joining the space race. But from history, haven't we learnt that we could probably get to where we're going faster if everyone cooperated and worked together?
But I don't want to share the award, John. I'm a human.
Well, no, what happened was the NASA had the space shuttle, okay? And that dominated low Earth orbit human space flight for 30 years. Mm. But after the two problems with Challenger blowing up on the way up and Columbia burning up on re-entry, so 14 astronauts lost, basically they had to change course. And so what they did was firstly close down the shuttle program and hand all manned flights to the space to the Russians.
Yes.
Okay, so that's what's been happening since 2011, with the last shuttle flight. To replace NASA's low Earth orbit manned missions, they have put a lot of money into developing private enterprise. So the idea is that the low Earth stuff will be taken over by private companies, and that's already happened to a large extent with cargo to the space station, for instance. That's different companies. But the next step is sending people up from America rather than from Russia.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, so okay. It's handing over. That means that NASA can concentrate on going back to the moon and going to Mars.
All right. Okay, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Now, what's happening with the current night sky?
Current night sky, assuming no clouds around, of course, or a few clouds.
It's looking pretty good out the window.
Yeah, but
that's the day
star
sky,
in the
mate.
Sky is causing a problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, once that big star in the sky is set, in the evening we've got Venus low on the horizon in the west. It's going to gradually get higher further from the sun, so it's pretty low at the moment, but we'll get better. On the 18th of May, moon's going to go past. It'll be a thin crescent moon going past Venus. That might be a photo opportunity.
On
the other horizon,
scenario.
Over in the east, Jupiter's getting higher and higher. Mm-hmm. And on 27th, 28th of May, the moon's going to go past Jupiter, so another photo opportunity there, perhaps. The morning sky is quite good. There's four planets in the sky, Jupiter, Saturn, Mars, and Mercury. Mercury's dropping back towards the sun, so it might need to be in the next sort of couple of weeks to catch that. And again, the moon's going to go past Mercury on the 14th of May in the morning sky. Over in the east, so
lots
quite nice planets to look at.
Yeah.
And by the end of May, beginning of June, Matariki will be rising in the morning sky. Mm. But I'll talk more about that as we get towards June.
Cool. And now, what's happening at the Stardome in the next couple of weeks?
Stardome, we've got a couple of things worth talking about. One is for the next three Thursdays, we have a movie called The Farthest screening in our planetarium. This is a movie about the Voyager spacecraft, which is the furthest thing that we've sent out into space. It has interviews with the people who, especially those who put the record together. It has people's speeches, songs, bird sounds, and all sorts of things on a gold record, basically, on that spacecraft. So that's each Thursday night at 8 p.m.
I've heard good things about this. Would you say it's incredibly inspiring, David?
I would. Yeah, definitely. You know, it's a documentary type of thing, but it's
propaganda at all?
I don't know how much gander there is in it, proper or otherwise.
Okay.
No, it's a document. So it's got the actual people who were involved in putting the record together and so on, and they're talking about what happened and why they did the things they did and the decisions they made and where the spacecraft is.
What if the birds are saying something like something real nasty, and then the aliens can understand the birds, but we can't?
Well, the thing is, the spacecraft's not going to pass anything. A few years ago, it went past what's called the heliopause. That's the edge of the solar wind and magnetosphere of the sun. So the sun's influence is now behind that spacecraft. So the next thing it could possibly hit, that we know of, would be something to do with another star, or maybe a comet, or something very small out there. Basically, it's past anything that we know about, so it's just going to drift for the next whatever, till maybe an alien picks it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Mother's Day.
Mother's Day is coming up. Yep. So on the 13th of May, we've got planetarium shows, 1 to 8 p.m., 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, and 8 p.m. All you need to do to get a free seat for your mum or your grandmum is to come along, pay for your seat, and they get in free.
Hey, oh, right.
Very nice, very nice.
Yeah.
All right, David, well, we shall wrap things up there. Once again, great to talk to you, and we'll look forward to talking to you in about 2 weeks' time. And everyone out there listening, please head along to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Look forward to it.
Sweet.
Cheers, mate.
Okay, bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.